This is The Lullaby Effect with music educator and researcher Dr. Anita Collins.
Hello, I'm Anita Collins. This podcast is about how important it is to sing to your child and how you are actually helping them to grow every time you sing to them. This episode is Food for the Brain, and we're going to ask, how does music make the brain grow? There are days when my daughter will jump around the lounge room, singing her heart out, dancing around to, sometimes it's a different piece, sometimes it's the same piece, for weeks on end. And I often watch her, and it's a wonderful thing as a parent to watch with this unbridled joy that is happening for our child. But for me, I watch her and there's much more going on. She, neurologically, parts of her brain are talking to each other really, really quickly, and pathways that were little dirt tracks are becoming highways very, very quickly. Physiologically, in her body, she's having this release of all these wonderful endorphins that are running around her body, making her really happy. At the same point, there's also her stress hormone, cortisol, which is getting normalized. So it might be really low. She might be feeling down and it's actually coming up to a normal level. She might be feeling really stressed and it's coming down to a normal level. So that spontaneous, wonderful entertainment is actually her body growing really, really quickly into the next level of her development. I'm often asked the question about good and bad music for children, and my personal belief is music is just music. It's just different combinations of notes and rhythms and tone colours and dynamics and tempo and all those sorts of things that make up music. It's what the child gets attracted to and responds to and why that is the most important thing. Children's songs are short. They have a lot of repetition. They're easy to sing. They're great, but they're also easily digestible. And if we only ever ate easily digestible food, then we wouldn't actually be nourishing our body with things like fiber and roughage and all those different things that are a bit harder to digest. Now, music is a little bit similar like that. Music can be incredibly simple, like our children's songs, easy to understand and enjoy, but can also be very, very, very complex. They can get much longer. There's many more instruments being played. They have very complex melodies, all those sorts of things. This is the whole gamut of what music actually is. And just like food, children are developing a taste for music as they get older. However, what they need to develop a taste is to be exposed to it. So sometimes they might listen to a piece of music and instantly react as if they don't like it. And they have often very physical reactions. They cover their ears. They say, turn it off, turn it off. But that's actually a point where they're taking in new, more complex information, and they need to keep being exposed to those in a way that's very open and just saying, this is new, it's a bit more interesting, a bit more complex, what do you think, do you like it, do you not like it, maybe listen for a little bit longer and we'll see if it becomes interesting to you. Often we look at this and we think, well, that's just a competing idea. How can you have music that's good for you and music that's bad for you that is also good for you and music that's good for you that's also bad for you? It doesn't make any sense. But if we think about our own choices in music as adults, we have different kinds of music for different reasons. If we need to get excited about going to a big meeting or doing the housework we don't want to do, some people put on really fast, heavy beat music and they change their mood and get into whatever they need to get into. Some other people choose a different route. They need to go to a big meeting or they need to do the housework. They might put on very slow, very calming music to get themselves into a different frame of mind. Now, we have all these different choices of music because we have this full gamut of music that we can choose from. Children don't until they're exposed to it, and that's our job. Our job as parents is to seek out lots of different kinds of music that they can be exposed to and introduce them to it in a kind of way where music is just music. There's no judgment, there's no good, there's no bad. It's just different kinds of music.
You're listening to The Lullaby Effect with music educator and researcher Dr. Anita Collins. And speaking of exposing your kids to a range of music, tune in to Kindling anytime to listen to all kinds of tunes, from The Wiggles to The White Stripes. You can stream Kindling Kids Radio direct from our free app. They're all G-rated and guaranteed to make your brain grow. You just heard it from Anita Collins.
So let's get back to the main question in this episode. How does music make the brain grow? One of my favourite quotes from a researcher who started off very early in this field was that music is a tantalising mix of all the human cognitive development. He talked about it as food for the brain. And I think it's the best way to think about it because it is actually making the brain work very hard in ways that make us extremely happy and in ways that challenge us at the same time. It's the variety of music that we listen to, and it's the exposure to as many possible styles of music that we can. Just like we travel to go and experience different cultures, to be immersed in different cultures. Music is exactly the same thing, but all you need to do is switch on the radio to do it. So this is the reason why music is so important for our development, and it has different jobs at different times of our lives. But either way, music is food for our brain.
You've been listening to The Lullaby Effect, brought to you by Kindling Kids Radio. For more on lullabies, subscribe to The Lullaby Effect wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, please rate us and give a review. It will help us spread the word and reach more parents. Thanks for your support.